Now we move into chapter 36 of Ezekiel. We're through with Mount Seir, and we've left it in a state of desolation, and it's likely to continue to remain in that state. Now we must turn ourselves with the prophet to the mountains of Israel, which we also find desolate, but before this chapter is finished, we're going to find that they will have a better plight. There are two distinct prophecies in this chapter. The first one is found in the first 15 verses, and it's about the temporal state of the Jews, how that they're in a presently deplorable condition, and that their neighbors are actually triumphing over them as a result of their problems, but that in due time they shall be settled again in their own land in the midst of peace and plenty. Now this is verses 1 through 15. The second portion of this chapter seems to be chiefly concerned with their spiritual state, where they are reminded of their former sins and God's judgments upon them to humble them for their sins under the mighty hand of God. But it's promised that God will glorify Himself in showing mercy to them, that He will sanctify them by giving them His grace and fitting them for His service, and that'll be for His own name's sake and in answer to their prayer. That'll be in the remainder of the chapter, verses 15 through 38. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 36, "Also thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." Now Ezekiel is directed to prophesy to the mountains of Israel. He's going to turn his face now away from Idumea, away from Edom, and he's going to now face the mountains of Israel. No longer Mount Seir. Mount Seir is finished. But we're looking to the future. We're looking to the things that are going to happen to this nation of Israel. Now Ezekiel is looking at Israel after the destruction, after the captivity, after the desolation is set in. We read back in the 6th chapter of Ezekiel that he did a similar thing before the destruction. In Ezekiel 6 verse 2, "Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places." So at that point, it was before the captivity, God was still prophesying about what He was going to do to them in the way of destruction, in the way of captivity, in the way of desolation, and Ezekiel was given that prophecy then to these mountains and hills and valleys and rivers. But now after it, he comes back to the land, and there are no people to hear what he has to say now. But the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the rivers are still there. The heathen couldn't carry them off. The earth abides forever. And so here the land is still waiting for God to have his people to come back. And so Ezekiel prophesies to the mountains of Israel. And he says, "Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the word of the Lord, because the enemy has said against you, Ah, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." Now he begins to show how that they had been mistreated by the enemy. The enemy had said, "Ah, even the ancient high places are ours in possession." That is, all of these holy places, these ancient places that the Israelites had used for worship, that had been landmarks of their possession, of their nation, of their heritage, these then have been taken over by the enemy. The enemy has said, "These ancient high places are ours in possession. They're going to be ours now. We will use them. We will desecrate them. We will let them be whatever we want them to be for ours, for our benefit." And the nations had moved in upon what was left of the land of Israel, those round about. They had possessed the things that rightfully belonged to Israel. It was as though a ship had been wrecked, and every man felt that whatever he could lay his hands on was his. He had a rightful ownership to it. And that's what had happened to Israel. Israel was at the very bottom of the list of nations now. Israel was up for grabs. Even those ancient high places, even those sacred things, were no longer held in a sacred way by those who were overrunning the land. And so he says, this has happened. Verse 3, "Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen." Now, God, of course, allowed this to happen to the people. They had it coming to them because of their idolatry and their sin, the fact that they had forgotten and departed from God. But nevertheless, those who did these things were doing something that was wrong. They were doing something that was against the code of justice, against the honorable thing that one human should do to another human. And even though God used them to bring this about, still he's going to punish them for having done this to Israel. And so there's no way that you can mistreat a child of God and get away with it. God's going to bring about his retribution, his punishment. Even though it was something God wanted to happen, nevertheless, you're doing something wrong in the doing of it. And so they're going to be punished for this. They had no right to desecrate these high things of Israel. And so he says, you are swallowed. They swallowed you up on every side. That is, all the nations round about you have looked down upon you. Your possessions have been theirs for the taking. Your misfortune, your problems, they look upon as something that they can use to their advantage, and they're going to do it. They swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession under the residue of the heathen. Now, they had suffered so many problems themselves that in a lot of cases there was only a residue of them left. Many of these nations had also been destroyed, as we've read in previous chapters, but those that were left still looked upon Israel as being at the very bottom of the pecking order. And so the residue of the heathen swallowed you up, that you might be a possession unto them. And he further says, you are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. This very great thing that's happened to Israel is something that's the talk of the world. The other nations continually talk about it. It's a great subject. It's a great conversation piece. It's something that all the world is in awe of. So you're in the lips of talkers. And as we know, it's human nature for man to want to talk about things and say derogatory remarks about those who are having problems and those who've had misfortune to happen to them. And that's what they were doing here with the Jews. These Jews were a byword of the world. Everyone was glad to see them have their problems. Everyone was glad to see them be desecrated and have their land made uninhabitable and have them to be carried out of the land and most of them killed. You're on the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. The things they're saying about you are not good things. They're saying bad things. You're an infamy of the people. And so God sees what their plight is. He sees this predicament. Although they deserved it, although they had it coming, those who brought it about, those who were the instruments of this destruction, they're going to have to give an account. They're going to have to pay a price themselves for having done this, because they did it out of a hatred for Israel. They did it out of an act of envy and of strife and of the wrong kind of feeling that one human is to have toward another human. And God's going to hold them accountable for this. God allowed them to bring this about because Israel deserved to be destroyed, but he did not give them a divine commission to do it. They didn't know they were doing the will of God. They didn't even know the true and living God at the time they were doing this. As far as they were concerned, they were being successful as a result of the idolatrous gods. So now God's going to call them to task for having done these things to this nation of Israel. But we can see how that everything that happened then was something that the other nations rejoiced at, something the other nations talked about, and Israel then became an infamy of the people. Verse 4, therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. So God is now speaking to what's left. He's speaking to the mountains and the hills and the valleys. He's speaking to the residue of the cities, whatever is left here. These things that had become a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen. God's turning the face of the prophet toward these things now, and he's speaking to these things. There are no people here. He can't talk to the people, but he can talk to the land. He can talk to what's left, and he can explain what's going to happen, what he's going to bring about, the kind of a restoration that he's going to cause, the kind of a physical and temporal improvement that's going to come to the people and going to come to this land. And as he talks about these things of the land, then of course those people who are in captivity, who hear Ezekiel say this, who learn about this, they're going to then be able to learn what's going to happen to them. They're going to be the instruments that God will use to restore this land. They're going to be the recipients of the blessings that God's going to give to this land. It's not enough just to bless the land. There must be people involved to receive the benefits of the blessing. And that's what's going to happen. So we see God setting the stage here then for talking about the great blessings that are going to come upon Israel at a future time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.